contact you as a 10-minute speaker. Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Janice M. from Carlsbad.
I know, it's tall, huh? My name's Janice. I'm an alcoholic. I want to welcome all the newcomers here. I love Alcoholics Anonymous, and if you get anything out of what I'm about to share is that that I swore, like, with every bit of me that my life was going to suck, and it was just going to be awful when I quit drinking, and I can tell you that I was a billion times wrong. And, I want to thank Heather for asking me to come here and get to do this with her. She's become a really good friend, and we have a lot of fun, and we chase sobriety, you know. And if you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, I challenge you to get into the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's good to see my friend Randy over there and a few other faces and my friends that got in my car. You know, I have a Denali. There's seven seats, and so we put seven alcoholics, and we hopped in the car, and we get to do what I call step zero, and that's get in the car. And, I think I need a bigger car. My husband doesn't think so, but I'm telling you, we would pack it, and we have a really good time in sobriety, it's cool. I have a sobriety date. It's December 14th, 2007, and I have a sponsor. Her name's Gracie A., and I have a home group. I actually have a few home groups, and that would be Sobriety Rocks, 8:30 a.m. Daily Reflections, and we have a Saturday night Sobriety Rocks speakers meeting, the Wednesday noon women's meeting in Oceanside. It's also known as the handbag meeting. Tuesday night Thibodeau is one of my home groups, and the women's Sunday night at 6 p.m. at 2nd Street. And, you know, I don't know, some are sicker than others, and you know, that I guess that would be me. Like, on a regular basis, you know, with 11 and a half years of sobriety, I go to at least 10 meetings a week. And I have a lot of commitments in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm on committees and, you know, helping do things. And, you know, I did not think that would be my story when I came here. I thought that, like, I was just going to learn how to not drink. And, you know, this was the last house on the block. I did not come to Alcoholics Anonymous and say, well, maybe I am and maybe I'm not. You know, I knew out the gate as a very young kid that I was an alcoholic. And so it was like, you know, it was a family tradition. And my parents, you know, my dad used to say, if you drink like me, you're going to become an alcoholic like me, and you're going to die of cirrhosis of liver, you know, but make sure you eat something. Right? Because it'll slow the whole process down, you know, and I won't get into a lot of what it was like. You know, it was just really bad, and I'm a drink no matter what kind of girl. You know, I'm a drink if I'm driving, I'm a drink if I'm 9 months pregnant, I'm a drink if, like, I gotta go to the mother-son dance with my kid up at the grade school, I've got a water bottle full of vodka. I'm going to open my eyes in the bed, you know, puke in the trash can, roll over, take a drink, pop a few pills, and wait and hope to not throw up again. Like, I drank, and if I didn't drink, I was sick. And I didn't know that, like, you had to be sick and get over that hump before you felt any better. Like, I just kept chasing I didn't want to be sick. And then the end of my drinking, you know, I was sick still. You know, it was like my alcoholism looked like when I was 34 years old. I was sitting in the corner of the couch. I had these kids. I had this guy that loved me. And, like, I was stuck in the corner of the couch. I would puke yellow bile into a towel and then try to chase the drink down. And, you know, that's when, like, intervention was really, you know, a thing, and Dr. Phil and Oprah, mothers driving their SUVs loaded. And, you know, I just, like, I was not a functioning alcoholic anymore. Like, I would sit in the corner of the couch, I would drink, I would smoke cigarettes, watch Judge Judy, Judge Million, Judge Joe Brown, like, shitty TV, you know? And it was just like everything crap just filling in, you know. And I had kids running around. Nickelodeon was not on my TV at all, you know. It was like, and I just didn't think anything of it. Like, it was just selfishness and self-centeredness, right? And that was my life. And in 2006, I accidentally overshot the mark. And when I accidentally overshot the mark, I said I needed help. I had been watching way too much intervention. I was drinking with my dad and my Uncle Sam. It was Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, I was like, I said, you know, I need help. I'm an alcoholic. And my dad was like, I'm an alcoholic too, and I need help. And I said, I'm going to go to rehab. And my dad said, honey, I'll go to rehab with you. And I was like, my Uncle Sam, he was like, well, I'm an alcoholic, but I am not going to rehab, right? And we were like, all right, cheers, you know, and like my Coors Light and my dad's Budweiser were like, yeah, rehab, you know. And I mean, it's just, I have the visual, like I'm in the backyard sitting at the picnic table smoking a cigarette, drinking. It's like, all right, you know. And that next morning when I woke up, I was like, there was Tom, you know, my now husband. He's like, all right, let's do this. And I'm like, whoa. Slow down, Nellie, you know. And that started this, it started this journey. Like, you know, it started, I ended up in rehab. And what I know today, it's really hard to get sober when you don't want to be sober. You know, I want to welcome the newcomers. I hope that you're here because you want to be here, or that you have a lot of really strong AA people that love you and want you here. So they put you in the car, right? And without a choice. We told her we were dropping her off at treatment on the way home. Just kidding. Just kidding, Jackie. Anyone know of one? No. Because we could do that. Inpatient is better. You know, just my will, God's will. And so, you know, I paid a lot of money for a big book and got loaded in rehab. I mean, who does that? Well, a liar, cheat, and a thief like myself, I did. And, you know, one of the clients, like, I went to detox. I know what it's like to have seizures. I mean, I was a heavy drinker. Like, I was an everyday, all-around-the-clock drinker. I never went without drinking. And I had the seizures, and I went to the rehab, and one of the clients handed me their Seroquel and said, hey, you're bipolar, take this. And I was like, yes, I am bipolar, right? And that was it. It was like, I was in front of the psychiatrist, and I was pretending to be bipolar because the bipolar people told me what bipolar people do. And it was like, and I was like a chameleon, and I could just like, and I didn't get sober. I got loaded in rehab, and we paid a lot of money for my big book. And, you know, for the next year and a half, I came to AA. I took Dirty Tokens. I got a sponsor, pretended to work the steps, got stuck on 8 and 9. I just knew that if I walked into Blockbuster to make my financial amends, like, the place was going to set on fire. I'm like, you cannot do this. Got pregnant with my fourth kid, and I needed every single bit of that. Like, if you're sitting in here and... if you're sitting in this meeting and you're not really sober, I get it, you know. Just keep coming back, right? I mean, before, I got to speak last night and I was talking to some people, and it's like before treatments, before all these places, like, where did Alcoholics Loaded come, right? They came to AA and they sat in AA meetings, and maybe, just maybe, like a little grace of God came in, and like just maybe, maybe they got to that jumping off point. And, you know, thankfully for me, December 14th, 2007 is when I got to my jumping off point. That's when I was at that point where I was willing to go to any lengths, like our gentleman, happy birthday. I was willing to lick the ass of an elephant if you told me to. And it's like I've been doing that ever since, you know. It's like I chase this thing, and thankfully I haven't had to lick the ass of an elephant. But I would, you know, and we just chase this thing, and you know, I know my time, I'm going to wrap it up, but what I can tell you today is that Alcoholics Anonymous is the most important thing in my life, and I have 5 kids today, I'm married, I'm happily married, I know what causes that, I fixed it, I'm done having kids, but, you know... But like, I'm a sober mom today, and it took me years into sobriety to become that sober mom. Today's my 48th birthday. I'm 48 years old today, right? Not bad, right? I'm like going backwards. You should have seen me 12 years ago. Like, I was not a vision for you at all. I was dying of alcoholism, you know, but so today being my birthday, it's like I'm in the most awesome place I could possibly be. When Heather asked me, will you come down and be my 10-minute speaker? I'm like, hell yes. You know, like, this is where I want to be. Tomorrow I'm going to go to lunch with my 5 kids and my husband, and we're going to go pick up my mom. And we're going to celebrate my birthday, right? And I'm going to stay sober. And it's just, sobriety is a gift. And I'm just really grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm grateful for the opportunity to come up here, for the sponsees that are in my life, and for the angels. You know, and I just want to throw one shout out. You know, in 2012, we started Saturday Night Sobriety Rock Speakers Meeting. I've been down to this meeting before. I got to be Cliff R's 10-minute speaker once. And I called Randy, and Randy helped me with that meeting up there. And we have a babysitting meeting up in Carlsbad every Saturday night that started in 2012. And this meeting used to have babysitting. It used to be a meeting where people could bring their kids. I don't think the babysitting's here anymore, but, you know, so if you have kids and you want to come to a Saturday night speakers meeting, come see us up in Carlsbad, because we have the language of the heart up there as well. Thank you so much.